Well, this morning, if you would turn with me over to Matthew chapter 28, we're going to, I'm going to give you, instead of going through a study on sola fide as we have been, since Lyle and I traveled 1,600 miles on a trip to Colorado and back and attended the conference there in Boulder for 3 days, I thought it would be good if I could give you a report on this conference, because I think it does and will affect the future of our church in terms of what we will do in missions, what we will give to, what we will support, what we will even perhaps take the initiative to work with missionaries that are sent out to other places in the world. At least that's my hope. And so I want you to understand where I am in all this and where I think that we can be of help to the broader Reformed Baptist church and churches. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Says this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Rocky Mountain Conference on Reformed Baptist Missions was the first effort to bring Reformed Baptists together to promote the cause of missions and church planting, that is, as this group of men and churches, and to strategize for future fellowship, encouragement, and cooperation. All the men who put together this conference were formerly involved in missions in relation to ARBCA, the Association of Reformed Baptist Churches of America. The men who made up the conference, the planning committee, were formerly very much involved in missions and their labors while they were in ARBCA. Former pastor and coordinator Gordon Taylor, former pastor of Sycamore Baptist Church in East Moline, the church which sent me to you here back in 2003, was there and gave the opening address. Matt Foreman, the pastor of Faith Reformed Baptist Church of Media, Pennsylvania. Doug Van Dorn, the pastor of Reformed Baptist Church of Northern Colorado, whose church hosted the conference. And Jim Adams, pastor of Cornerstone Church in Mesa, Arizona. Jim has served as a missionary in Latin America and has taught theology there and in the United States, and is currently involved in coordinating missions in South America. These men and a number of other pastors and churches which recently left ARBCA over the doctrinal disagreement in relation to the doctrine of divine impassibility and other related issues sent out information to many pastors and people who they thought might want to become more involved in missions and to search out the possibility of forming a Reformed Baptist network of churches in the future. The conference began this last Tuesday morning and lasted until Thursday afternoon, and it consisted of 5 sermonic messages and a devotional related to the subject of missions. These were presented by Gordon Taylor, Bob Self, Sam Masters, Mark Chansky, Robert Elliott, and Matt Foreman. And these messages were then interspersed with reports from missionaries such as Trevor Johnson, Baruch Mayaz, David Vaughn, Michael Imadi, Olivier Favre, John DeVito, David Adams, John Cordy, and John Miller. The first sermon on missionary endeavor came from Gordon Taylor, who preached to us from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And Pastor Taylor is, former Pastor Taylor, but Gordon Taylor is amillennial in his convictions, but you wouldn't have known it the way he preached that morning, Tuesday morning. He almost sounded post-millennial. I didn't tell him that, but I was very encouraged by the things that he preached on that day. He showed us a number of things that I'll mention here in just a few minutes. I think that what we need to understand is that there are a lot of good things that these men spoke, and I'm not going to be able to communicate them to you all in the time that I have remaining here, but I'm going to see what I can do and give you a taste of what took place. I want to start with the third day of the conference, not because I'm passing over all the messages. I'll give you some quotes from the messages later. And I also, with my little digital voice recorder, recorded the messages so that I'm thinking that I might be able to put them into a CD form. I'm going to check and see if they recorded the messages out there and if they're available. And if they are, I will try to purchase them or get them if I can. But on the third day of the conference, Pete and Doug Van Dorn, that is the minister from the Reformed Baptist Church in Northern Colorado, and his father spoke to us relating their perspective on what they believe is desired in terms of a network of Reformed Baptist churches. The time following their presentation was devoted to a time of discussion, the purpose of which was for officers of Reformed Baptist churches to discuss the possibilities of future cooperation and fellowship. By the way, there were about, I think, 80 people there that showed up for the conference, which was about three or four times the number that they thought that they would get. The discussion on the third day was open for all registrants, but the focus was on church cooperation. Some of those who were there had been part of an association of churches in the past. Others had not. The conference committee wanted this time of discussion to be a free exchange of ideas. They realized that there would be a diversity of ideas and opinions on what future cooperation would look like. They told us that obviously we share a common burden for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for fellowship, for encouragement and cooperation among like-minded Reformed Baptist churches, for strategic, organized support, counsel, and deployment for missionaries and church planters, for outreach and appeal to a broader evangelical and emerging Reformed churches, for faithfulness to our theological distinctives, yet with broad-hearted, generous-minded, outward focus. In the past, cooperation among modern-day Reformed Baptists has taken various forms. The old RBA, the Reformed Baptist Association, RBMS, Reformed Baptist Mission Services, ARBCA, Association of Reformed Baptist Churches, FIRE, Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals, and informal fraternals. They wanted us to consider what form future cooperation might take. They knew that there would be a range of interests, from a loose fraternal to a missional network to a full-blown association. Doug Van Dorn and his father Pete Van Dorn spoke to us in the morning session on the third day concerning vision and mission. And I want to relate a few of the things that they said. I thought that they were very key to the whole time that we had together. Doug said, "How do you build trust? By seeing someone as they are," he said. He said that he did not want to see a group of people who exist as a group or stating what they are not. Rather, we need to approach this from what we are. We need to dream together. We need to be positive, have a mission and a missions statement. Why are we here now? He said that he personally didn't care what kind of organization we might have. He said that he would like to see us work together in a common cause. Is there something that we can come up with, he said, which will give us a reason for our existence? How do you get men together with very different viewpoints? He wanted us to think about what mission and vision are. After he spoke, we were all given a number on a piece of paper, and the numbers were 1 to 5, and we were then to get together with the other people having the same number and brainstorm. The following is a summary of what Doug and Pete said to us. First of all, mission and vision. A mission statement summarizes your goals and objectives and focuses on the present. Vision is something that you want to see to come to pass. You want to see come to pass in the future. Doug was a business manager, he said, in his college days. And one of the ways to alleviate the fear of mission and vision statements, he said, is to remember that this is my Father's world. Did God the Father not create this world good? And did he not create it to work according to specific things? There is nothing wrong with thinking about how you want to do things. A mission statement summarizes your goals and objectives and focuses on the present. Mission statements tell you where you are right now. It differs from the vision statement, which states where you would like to be in the future. And what you would like to have as your focus. The vision statement will be shorter than the mission statement. The mission statement will be more detailed and specific. Missions makes you distinct from others. Your mission statement puts feet to the vision statement. You will carry out your mission even if it is not well defined. But if it is well defined and everybody is agreeing with the vision, then it will succeed. You can't just keep a vision going, he said, with just a few people at the top. He illustrated this with Steve Jobs and his vision for Apple computers. Steve Jobs succeeded because there were so many people working together with him, and they all caught the vision for what the company could do and become. And the people coming into the stores to buy, they also caught the vision. Doug said that he personally had a vision to climb all the major mountains around his area, all of the mountains over 14,000 feet. He tried to get his wife to share his vision of climbing these mountains with him. Guess what happened? She didn't like it. She didn't see it as fun, but rather as a drudgery. Doug, however, held to the vision, and after 15 years, in 1999, he had climbed all the 54 mountains that he had attempted to climb. He also had a number of other men who caught his vision, and they also joined him in climbing 30 of those mountains with him. Then we need to think, he said, about the difference between mission and vision, and see that holding to the vision will guarantee success to the mission if the cause is Christ's cause. Apple carried out their vision very well, and their mission is still making progress. But he said, think about Walmart. Walmart is the example of a company which has lost its original vision. In the beginning, everything put out by Walmart was American-made in the early days. Sam Wall went to the small market, and the company succeeded well in the beginning. Sam had a vision of helping Americans by selling American products, but after he died, his children didn't share his vision. And they changed it so that it didn't hardly sell anything that was American-made. They changed their vision and it has not succeeded. Instead, it's become a hated company by many people in this country. When Walmart wants to put a store in a new community where they haven't been before, a lot of times people will picket. Or they'll hold up signs of protest saying, we don't want a Walmart here. He also used the example of Pepsi, who owns Taco Bell and a lot of other small food businesses. They're just trying to sell their product. They've succeeded in that, but in the process, it has not appealed to people. Also, the example of Arnold Schwarzenegger was used. Arnold Schwarzenegger was driven years ago to be the world's greatest bodybuilder. There were certain things that he needed to do to become that. But he had this vision. It becomes a natural way to move toward the object of your vision, to think of the ways that it can be accomplished. In relation to a church or churches, there has to be a common confession of their vision. If you don't have a common confession, you don't have a fellowship of churches. Doug then asked, how are we going to reach our vision? He gave us a way to think about vision. It can be dreamed and brought about, he believes, in terms of understanding causality. In thinking about creating a vision statement, he related to us five aspects of causality in relation to the success of living out the vision that we would have in forming a network of churches. He took this from R.C. Sproul. He showed us first the material cause, which was the Scripture. Second, the formal cause, which was fellowship around a common confession. Third, the final cause, that is, the purpose, which is to advance Christ's kingdom. And fourth, the efficient cause, God, who is the primary efficient cause, and our churches are the secondary efficient cause, but nonetheless essential to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Fifth, instrumental cause, that is, missions, church planting, education, association, fellowships, and denomination. Pete Van Dorn, highly successful as an accountant, I believe, years ago, he was successful, he said, not because he focused on the numbers so much as he focused upon people. He said that he was struck by all the men there in the room as to what they could do if they were united in vision. We don't have time, he said, to be a social group. We are supposed to be the salt and light of the world, the earth. So we need to think about how we are going to be salt and light in a world that is full of darkness. Pastors have, individually, said, many different skill sets. We also have people in our churches that can do all sorts of things, who can propel things so that many good things can take place for Christ's cause and kingdom. So he's saying here that we need to think together how we can do missions, not only just the pastor or sending a pastor somewhere or a trained man somewhere, but we need to think together about how we can send or support missionaries in the field and use all kinds of different people in our church to do it. He said that there were a number in the planning committee who wanted to plant 250 churches by 2050. Some thought that this could not be done, that it was impossible. But he said this is a smaller vision than the Great Commission, and Jesus gave it to them. And he said, don't worry about it, I will be with you always. He's talking about Jesus, even to the end of the age. He said that we need to have a long-term vision that goes beyond each one of us. Doug said that he probably would not be there in 2050 or 60, that he'd be 90 years old by that time. But he said that there is a power in dreaming about things which should come about even after we are gone. So he encouraged us to think big about what could be. He quoted John Knox, "Give me Scotland or I die." He said, if you aim at nothing, you will probably hit it. Knox's vision drove him in that day to do great things for God, things which have lasted down to this very day. He said that you really need to think through the instrumental cause and the final cause. If our goal is to plant 250 churches by 2050, we need to clarify how that will come about. As he and his father talked, they came to believe that it was not by the promotion of our doctrinal distinctives, as they are found in our 1689 Confession of Faith, as important a document of clarification as it is. The 1689 Confession is a resource. It is an instrument or tool, but it is not a vision statement. Instrumental causes are not the vision. This is not to minimize the 1689 Confession. It is very important to the mission, but it is not the vision itself. All instruments are working for the purpose for carrying out the vision. All instruments have strengths and weaknesses. A hammer does some things well, and it does not do other things well. It is not a straw that you use to drink through. Therefore, our vision should be Christological, and it should be related to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And it should be people-focused in the sense of their becoming Christians and the churches discipling them. And that summarizes basically what they were trying to say. We then broke up into five small groups of about nine in each group. This was on the last day of the conference, and some of the men had left already. But we were encouraged to dream about the future for about half an hour together and think together of what we would like to see come about. All of this was very good. I was in a group with 8 or 9 other men, Baruch Mayaz and Chris Powell and just a number of other men that we just brainstormed for about half an hour about these things. And we came back together and we were able to put together a very simple vision statement for the Reformed Baptist Network of Churches. It reads this way: to glorify God through fellowship and cooperation in fulfilling the Great Commission to the ends of the earth. My brethren, a vision statement is only a beginning. But I believe that it will take us to the place where we as a church, in cooperation with other like-minded churches, can be involved in doing good things for God, in serving and preaching the gospel to many people in many countries of the world, with the hope of seeing many come to faith in Christ and becoming disciples of our Lord. That's why I'm very encouraged about the time that Lyle and I had at this conference. I want to close by just reading a few quotes from those who preached to us. Gordon Taylor: the promise of Habakkuk 2:14 is an enormous promise. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. This knowledge that is mentioned here is explained by verse 4 of that same chapter: the just shall live by faith. It is a gracious message because it justifies sinners. It is gracious because it transforms sinners. It is a glorious message because it has the power to defeat all of the church's enemies. Bob Self, who has become an urban missionary to the city of Atlanta, Georgia: we should get a broken-hearted compassion for sinners. If it has been a long time since you got away with sinful people to look at them and love them and share your heart and life with them, set a table for them, find ways to bring the light and life of Jesus to them. Do you love sinners? Do you have a love for the ungodly? Does your heart break over them? Foreign missions has become home missions. Then he quoted C.T. Studd, who said, "I want to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell." Get a broken-hearted passion and a compassion for souls to build more than Reformed Baptist churches. Trevor Johnson: it is not your seating capacity, it is your sending capacity that counts in your local church. Matt Foreman: when we cease to be amazed by grace, we stop showing grace to others. Speaking on Jonah chapter 4, he said, Jonah believed that he deserved the mercy and shade of the plant which God caused to grow up and shade him from the sun. But he did not believe that Nineveh deserved mercy from God. It is impossible to forgive others when you feel superior to them. The sins of others are greater than ours, we think. But real forgiveness requires humility and gratitude to God. We are never to forget our conversion. The Apostle Paul never got over his conversion. But aren't you glad that God didn't send us Jonah? He sent us Christ. He sent us His beloved Son. The message of Jesus was that He would be overthrown. As He looked at the task, He did not run. Jesus shows us the heart of God. God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Robert Briggs: when somebody says, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth, we need to listen because it relates to us. Jesus says, you are of more value than many sparrows. Are we listening? God knows when a little sparrow falls to the ground. God cares. That little sparrow that has been provided for, the Lord is aware of. And we are of more value than many sparrows. Thank you for that. You are, Jesus, he said. You are my friends. If it wasn't in the Bible, he said, how would we believe it? We are honored to have Jesus as our friend and have him communicate it to us in this way. But I think that the best of the you are's are, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Well, let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would help us, stir us up in our minds and hearts to think about the lost and perishing people around us, and help us to believe that we, by the power of the Spirit and in cooperation with many others, can launch out and do exploits for you. We pray that we would do so, both as a church here in this community and then in cooperation with other churches to the end of the earth. May you be with us to establish all the good things that we need to learn and grow in, and to help and learn to do in the future. Help us, dear Lord, to see that we are indeed the light of the world. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.